Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you for being with me today, and we have a new perspective today. Today's perspective comes from Sarah Stelmack Brown. She is a caregiver. She has a variety of experiences, including experience in home care, but most recently experience with autism. She is from the state of Connecticut. She is a millennial. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Rob.
My pleasure. So tell me a little bit about your role in healthcare and a little bit about yourself, please.
So, well, the first and probably most important role I have is a mom of two boys on the autism spectrum. But my healthcare journey started at the age of 17, where I became a nurse's aide in the state of Rhode Island. I worked as a nurse's aide until last summer, actually. I have experience in subacute care, Alzheimer's care, assisted living, and home care, with my last role being 10 years as a nurse's aide and a patient aide in an assisted living facility.
Okay, so kind of you've had a variety of experiences. What would you say, what would you say you have learned about helping people with disabilities, because you've seen the whole spectrum? You know, talk to me about kind of what you've learned from your experiences.
Honestly, the biggest thing that I learned is that there's so much isolation in the disability community for caregivers. You don't think about it. You don't realize it. But the caregivers, the moms of people with autistic children who have sensory processing issues, who struggle in public, the people who are caring for their grandmother or their mother who has Alzheimer's, who they can't take shopping anymore, the people who are caring for people with limited mobility, there's isolation. There's so much isolation. And while we claim to try to be an inclusive society, we're still not there.
Yeah. What you say is so interesting, because I think about that from the other side, okay? I think about it from the side of the people that are receiving care. And very often for people with disabilities, we talk about isolation, right? The only people that they see in their day are their family members and or the people that are paid to come in and give them care. They're not getting out into the community. They're not getting out to make friends and do that. And so to say that, and to see it from the next level up, to say sometimes the caregivers are in the exact same situation where they're caring for a family member that they can't get out, or they need some respite. In other words, they need someone to come in and cover a few hours or cover a day so that they can go do something. And I mean, you're doing this, right? Well, you don't get to go on vacation without your kids. Not that you would want to go on vacation without your kids necessarily, although every now and then I've got 20-year-old triplets, okay? I understand the fact that sometimes you just need time away from the kids, but when you're their primary caregiver, it's not that easy where you can just invite the neighbor girl over to watch the kids for a little while you run to the grocery store. So thank you for being willing to share that. I'm really curious to get your answer to this. What does quality healthcare mean to you?
You know, it's a complicated term, and quality healthcare isn't just the physical care, it's the emotional care. That sometimes gets neglected, not just for the patient, but for the caregiver as well, or not just for the person who needs the care, but for the caregiver as well. The physical stuff, the bathing and stuff like that, that can be done by anybody. Anybody can be trained to do that well. But the emotional connection between a caregiver, and I say this as a nurse's aide and as a parent of a child on the spectrum, that's hard. That's the hardest thing to get. A lot of times other caregivers to do, they oftentimes they're just there to do the physical part, and you can do a great job in the physical part. But if there's no emotional connection, if there's no relationship, if there's no like busting chops about Patriots versus Steelers, I'm just saying that, you know, but without that, there is no quality. There's no depth.
Yeah. Well, okay. And so busting chops about Patriots versus Steelers, is understandable. Recently, that has been kind of the rivalry that a hammer has with a nail. It hasn't been very pretty on our end. Congratulations on that. Although I would joke about it from the other perspective to say, you know, Bill Belichick, he's pretty good, but he's not as good without his Tom Brady as it appears. So, okay, but let's talk about this. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare? What does that look like in real life form?
Building a relationship with the person you're caring for. You know, not even just like the banter, but like understanding them, understanding their cues of I'm in pain. I have a nonverbal child. He has a different cry when he's in pain than when he's just wanting another snack. There's an understanding that difference is so important, and that's why I as a mom, I can't trust just anybody, like the neighbor girl with my child. There's a mental and spiritual aspect to healthcare too that I feel like a lot of times is overshadowed by the physical part. The physical part is the most pressing need, yes, but what about the mental aspect? What about the spiritual aspect? What about the emotional aspects?
Can you talk to me more about those? The physical part, we understand. The mental, emotional, and spiritual part. Can you elaborate on that at all?
Well, by mental, I mean, like, is this person being mentally stimulated enough? Is the person that's being cared for just watching TV all day? Or, you know, or what are they doing? What activities are you doing with, especially in home care? I can't tell you how many times I had cases of adults or young adults who that was their whole day was watching The Price is Right. And it's like, there's got to be more because there's more in them. And even the spiritual aspect, like, and I'm not trying to get like religious-y or anything like that. Spirituality can mean different things for different people. It can mean meditation. It can mean prayer, whatever. But making sure that those needs are fulfilled, making sure that, you know, that there's mental stimulation, spiritual stimulation, making sure that the person as a whole is being stimulated, making sure that there is emotional connection with that person, that person doesn't feel emotionally isolated. Because again, like you said, all they see is their caregivers. A lot of times their caregivers are so overwhelmed, and so the caregivers are struggling with all of those things too.
Yeah. As someone who has caregivers, I understand that sometimes the physical element of my care can be overwhelming and taxing. Okay. And you bring up a really important thing, which is, sometimes just getting your physical needs met is like, that's survival. Okay. Yeah. And I think that's the baseline that we look at. And that is, just survival is not an acceptable form of living for people, regardless of whether or not they have a disability. It's got to be about thriving. And so how do we take it to the next level to say, we're not just going to meet the physical needs. We need the mental stimulation. We need the spiritual development. We need the emotional connection to live a full life. What's your reaction to that?
I agree 1,000%. This is why I believe that there should be better accessibility for everybody. You know, there's no reason why we can't make Alzheimer's friendly grocery stores where when, you know, you want to take your mom out shopping. And I understand during the pandemic, there was a time where it wasn't safe to take grandma or mama shopping. But we can turn the music down in the store and try to make it less confusing, have somebody assist with shopping. If there is an episode, you know, the parent or the caregiver can take their person outside of the store that they're caring for sit in the car while someone finishes the shopping for them at the store. And I understand resources are difficult, but let's try. Also, other people need to not judge when a child is having a meltdown or an adult is having an episode in the store. Other people need to be supportive, and we need to not give dirty looks to kids who are making loud noises in the store because maybe that's the only sound they can make. Right. We need to not be agitated because we're stuck behind somebody in a motor cart and they're going slow. We need to be patient, kind, and respectful.
Well stated, and so important. Because, and I mean, how many times when a parent is there with a child and the child is acting out in some way, someone is giving dirty looks to the parents to say, you are a bad parent because your child can't behave in public. And it may, there are extenuating circumstances that people may not be aware of. So we all need to be a little bit more patient, gracious, and kind when it comes to the people in our community. There's so much I want to talk to you about, but we have questions, and so what do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare as a caregiver? And I think you've kind of touched on this a little bit.
I want to go back to isolation. That's for the most part, I have good friends who try, and I'm very fortunate, and my family tries. If it weren't for my family being so awesome, I would not be able to take my kids camping. That being said, there will probably be a day where I won't be able to take my son camping because right now a harness leash works good to keep him from running into the ocean, but there's going to be a day where I'm not going to be able to stop him and he's going to be bigger than me. He's a 6-year-old boy. He's already pretty strong. He's already almost 60 pounds. There's going to be a day my husband's not going to be able to stop him either. And, you know, unfortunately, that's a reality that I have to live with is I as the caregiver, as the parent, and I'm willing to sacrifice everything I can for my kids, but to what extent am I sacrificing myself as well in the things that make me? There are so many things that I've already given up, and it's just sad to know that there's going to be a day where I can't take my kid camping. Or, you know, whatever it is that you do, every caregiver feels that, and that there's going to be a day where they are in this isolated situation where they have to be locked in their home with their kid. And I try so hard to not let that be our reality, but that day may come.
Yeah. What you're saying is so powerful and it really touches my heart from the viewpoint of you are sacrificing of yourself to care for you. And I think the same thing applies. I'll just say this. I'm from the Pittsburgh area. I don't live in the city. And where I live is not bus accessible. So when I was looking for caregivers, I tried to use an agency to bring people in. And because I couldn't get it, because the bus couldn't get here, it really limited that. And so I was not able to get a consistent individual to come in all the time. And you talked about this earlier, where the person changed all the time, I had to retrain, or retrain everyone that came in. And that's me. And I'm very capable of doing my own training. Whereas for you, now you've got to do the training, and then now you're leaving, and, or, you know, you're stepping away for a minute, and you're trusting this basically complete stranger who has had a relatively short training period to know what to do with your son. And that's got to be, it's so challenging. And I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but I feel for you, if that's any comfort. So
thank you.
What excites you about the future of healthcare?
I actually think it's bright. There were a lot of terrible things come out of the pandemic, but I actually think one of the things that came out of the pandemic was a awareness for physical health and mental health and even behavioral health. There's been more of an awareness that these are things that we need to prioritize. We need to prioritize physical health for everybody. realizing how many people have comorbidities that put them at higher risk for COVID, which I'm not really trying to get too far into, but, you know, realizing how many people have some kind of medical condition, which is almost everybody, realizing how many people struggle with mental health, which I believe the statistics are like 1 in 4 adults have some kind of mental health issue at some point in their life. And the list just goes on. And so realizing that there's so much need, hopefully it shines a light on the fact that there is. People stop denying that there's issues, and we can really get to the bottom, really get to the core, and really help everybody.
Yeah. So just from a personal perspective, I will add this, that I see us making progress. It used to be that people with disabilities were institutionalized, and now there's a movement towards home and community-based services. And what I hear you saying is sometimes those services are just too much confined to home and not enough community. And so my hope for the future is that as we have moved from institutions into home-based care, that we can take the next step and move from just home-based care into actual community integration. So that's my hope for the future. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
From a CNA perspective, learn about the person they're caring for. Learn about not just their likes and dislikes, but learn about them as a person. What was their life like? What is their hobbies? Not just hobbies, but like even deeper than that. What was their favorite thing about their job? What was their mom's favorite thing that they cooked for them? Learning those things, especially in home care, I had to do a lot of cooking. And I was 20 years old when I started in home care. I barely cooked. I'd lived at home. I had to learn how to cook meals that I had never even heard of. But, you know, learning that was great. There were times I had to pull my phone. We used to get in trouble for using phones, but I'm telling my boss one day, I had to be on the phone. And she goes, why? I'm like, because they wanted this dish and I'd never heard of it. So I had to look it up on my phone and find the recipe and figure out how to make it because they couldn't remember. Sure. They could just see the name of the dish. And my boss is like, look at you always finding an exception.
Right. But to me, that is ultimately what we're talking about. It's patient-centered care. The individual is making a decision and says, I would like this. And you're saying, okay, this is what I need to do to accommodate you. And I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to let you make the decision. And then I'm going to do everything in my power to meet that. Listen, Sarah, you have been wonderful. I appreciate your openness. You have shared with us the caregiver perspective, the CNA, the Certified Nursing Assistant perspective. And I truly appreciate you giving us your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.